Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're excited to be on the air. Your hosts for today's show are Robert Brining and Jack McEnroe. They will be taking your calls and speaking out on the topic of the week. You're encouraged to call in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. That's 347-215-9442. Welcome to PosIM Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to PosIM Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining, joined by my co-host, Jack McEnroe. Jack, how are you making out today, man?
I'm pretty good. Well, I spent the whole morning waiting for the dishwasher repair guy, and you know they give you that window from like eight to one, and he never showed up, and the parts that came were wrong. It's just been kind of a hot mess, but I'm good. It's gross now because it's been broken for a week, and there's water in there, and it's like starting to smell. It's really disgusting, but whatever. It's a little off topic, but, you know, that's been my morning. It's very glamorous.
Oh, you're funny.
What's going on with you?
Nothing much. Just basically enjoying myself. Me and my partner don't have to go out too much and do things just like hanging out and having fun. So we kind of made a pact all together to get out of the house. And,
right.
And Monday we went tubing down the river.
Oh, cool. Did you get fried?
What'd you say?
Did you get fried?
No, it wasn't that hot. but it was fun and it was exciting and relaxing, you know, just to float 4 hours down the river.
Right.
You know, and with the currents and stuff. So it was pretty cool. I have pictures on Facebook if people want to check it out. We have an exciting guest to have on today. I'm really, really excited to have him on. It's very inspiring. His name is Brian Jackson, and he's 18 years old, and he just graduated high school, and he is HIV positive. And just to give a little rundown about Brian's story before he comes on, Brian was a baby when his father entered his hospital room and injected him with a syringe of HIV-tainted blood into his body. And this was what his father did to get out of paying child support. He tried to basically kill Brian. And, you know, Brian didn't find out until he was 5 years old when he was diagnosed with HIV. And from then on, he was given months to live. And he is now 18 years old. He just graduated high school. And he's, you know, choosing now to speak publicly about, you know, his story. And I think it's inspiring that he's going to come on and talk about what he's doing now, his organization, Hope is Vital. And things of that nature. He's going to talk about being a counselor for the first time at a camp called Camp Kindle that he used to go to growing up. So it'll be kind of very interesting to talk about what it's like to go through high school being HIV positive, and was there that stigma, you know, how bad was the stigma? Because I know, I don't know because I wasn't positive during high school, but I know that people can be mean in high school.
Yeah, people can be mean in high school. I would hope that there's some sensitivity, like, towards that, and that, you know, especially on the part of the administrators, that they actually, you know, maybe had an assembly, or I don't know. It'll be interesting to hear how they approach the whole subject matter. But, yeah, people, especially, you know, really young people are kind of uneducated, and that's just, you know, they're young. That's part. I actually got an email from someone that's like, on Facebook, actually, it said, you know, I love you on Project Runway. He's like, I hope they find a cure for HIV, and I hope you feel better. And I was thinking, I feel fine. You know, I think a lot of people just don't realize what, especially when you're, and the kid was only 16. So, I mean, I appreciate the sentiment, but it's like, I guess, I wrote back, I'm like, actually, people with HIV usually, unless they have an illness, feel fine. I feel fine all the time, but thank you for your concern. You know, I think, so people do still have a lot of misconceptions, and I think particularly young people, you know, so it should be interesting to talk to them.
Yeah, actually, he's on the line now, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on.
Cool.
Let's see if we can get him to come on. Brian Jackson, welcome to PosIM Radio.
Hello.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I am great. I'm kind of tired for the past 2 days. We've been dealing with a bunch of kids here at Camp Kindle, and that's a good camp for kids infected and affected by HIV and AIDS, and I am working here for a week, and it has been great so far, and it's a blessing to be here.
How long? So you're there for a week. How long have you been there so far?
What was that again?
Is my connection bad? I keep getting an echo. But how long have you been at the camp so far?
This is my 7th year attending.
Okay. And it's your first time being a counselor, correct?
I'm not a counselor. I'm actually a support staff, and we run around, and what I do is I run around and make sure the camp's running clean. Making sure everybody has what they need, making sure everybody's just where they're supposed to be at, setting up evening programs, and speak out program.
It's called Project Kindle. How can people find out about it? Can they go? What's the website?
I believe if you visit either campkindle.org for the camp, but if you want to learn more about Project Kindle, which Camp Kindle is a branch of, then I would go on to projectkindle.org.
That's great.
And it's really cool because I have a connection to Camp Kindle because we did fundraisers the last 2 years, me and my partner. We do different things, and I actually collected 500 Beanie Babies and donated them to Camp Kindle, because there's actually two of them, right, Brian? There's one in California and then one in Nebraska.
Yes, and just to let you know, Eva Payne was speaking very widely of you this morning mentioned your name. So,
oh, that's great.
She said you're a great guy.
Oh, that's nice. And it was just really cool that, you know, that happened to be where you're at today, and that I had that connection with that camp, because I just randomly picked that camp, so it kind of felt good to have somebody from that camp come and speak with me, since you've been there, you know, throughout, you know, the last 7 years. Before you came on, I touched a little bit on your backstory and everything, and I just wanted to bring it forward to now, and I just want to know what made you want to, because you started speaking, I believe I saw a video of you at 15 years old, right?
Maybe. I've been doing it since 12, 13, so around 12 and 13 is when I first started, and that happened, that was my second year. I went to Camp Kindle, and they introduced me to the Speak Out program, which stands for sharing personal experiences and knowledge, our unique truth, and their goal is to go to different schools, colleges, and educate people about the HIV virus and give campers the opportunity to share their personal stories of living with it. That year I began starting to speak for them. My first trip was up to believe Lincoln, Nebraska, and 2 years later I get a phone call from Washington, D.C., and these people wanted me to come out and be a good a lobbyist for Save ADAP, which is a drug assistance program for Ryan White, Title II.
Right, love ADAP.
And then I eventually became the Goodwill Ambassador for T2KN out there. And I continued to do that, and then after a while, I just continued to do Speak Out, and now I have my own organization where I have my own opportunities to do that. So,
which is Hope is Vital, correct?
That is Hope is Vital. By the way,
so,
that is.
So, what we were talking about before you came on the line quickly was kind of all the work you've done, obviously, is really amazing and great, and we commend you for that. But what was your personal experience like? High school is hard for everyone. But I think you being, I'm assuming you, since you were on the speaking circuit, that you were fairly public about your HIV status even before high school. So how was that experience? Was there weird questions towards you? Was there a negative, anything negative that happened to you, or was it a positive experience?
It was a very long and depressing way. In the beginning, when I was first diagnosed, it started off as a family, trying to pick the side. Should we keep them in the family, or should we just kind of block them off, And then it started the beginning with neighbors and friends, And it's not just me. This is my entire family pretty much, like my sister. And I didn't get invited to birthday parties, and we didn't get invited to go on play dates and stuff. Then school starts, and school wasn't really for sure if they wanted me there, so they were suggesting this homebound situation. It's where you go to school for an hour, and that's one day. And a teacher comes to visit you. And it's kind of like Ryan White all over again,
And what year was this, Ryan?
What
year was this?
I believe this was, I forget. I was around, 7 years old is...
It wasn't that long ago. It was only it was 11 or 12 years ago, and the public was pretty educated by then. So I'm really surprised. I'm surprised, and I'm not surprised.
Well, you'd be surprised how much the public's not educated these days.
That's true.
I still, even though I'm doing my role in my hometown, educating people about this virus, I still. Put up with a lot of it would be excellent if you and my dad is friend, but then when you pursue more, when you want to be in a relationship, like a dating couple, it's like, oh no, that's not happening. Sorry,
right?
I don't, and people still believe that you can get HIV through kissing.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, I'm not really. I'm just kind of like, am I not preaching this well enough, or do I need to preach it more? And,
Well, we all need to keep preaching it. We all need to keep. Like you said, the general public is fairly ignorant until it
affects them.
Yeah, but
a lot of people are afraid to go to stand before the crowd and stand 5 minutes longer than everybody else and be that hero because of the great stigma we have here in America. There are people who are afraid to, there are parents who are afraid to tell their children that they are HIV positive, and finally when they tell them they're HIV positive, they've already had sex with multiple partners or something.
Right.
And I just think that we should be looking at where hope is vital comes from, is I think we should be looking at a new meaning of HIV. And that new meaning of HIV is hope is vital, no longer human immunodeficiency virus. We need to look at it as hope is vital, and we need to look at it that there are other people out there already standing up, and we need help. It's not an easy field. I'm praying that other kids will, this week, who I'm teaching and speak at, will say, hey, I want to speak out. I want to share my story.
Right.
How hard is it, when you're there and you're talking to these kids who are younger than you, what are their responses to you when you're done speaking? Like, do Do most people, like, after you speak out, want to start speaking out themselves, or, like, what is their
thought? Most of them do, and, like, I this girl, she's just, like, talking about how great I am and how awesome I am, and I'm just like, you know, I'm not really that awesome. You know, I think God's more awesome than me, and there are other people out there who are more awesome than me. I'm just another average Joe just doing my duty to my country, so, you know.
Yeah, I think, see, that's why camps like that, like Camp Tyndall, are so important, because in a way, they're building the next, you know, generation of activists when going there, and you're teaching these people to speak out and to not be afraid.
Yeah, and we're all about building hope in these kids. We're all about building inspiration in these kids. And I told kids yesterday, I gave this, like, very inspirational speech. And I said, you know, it's okay to be afraid of fish, but sooner or later, we're going to have to overcome our fears. We can't be afraid of this all our life, because sooner or later, you're going to have to do it. And wouldn't you rather do it now out of fear than later in fear? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I also told them, one of the biggest things we need to do is we need to lose the bitterness we have. Yeah, there's always going to be people who call you names and whatnot, but we got to be the bigger people. We got to set the example. There might be some stones thrown at us, but we say, hey, no, we forgive you, and lose the bitterness, and that will, like, open up our heart more and will give us more opportunities to spread the word and not the virus. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
well,
Go ahead.
Well, no, I just think that's a great, I mean, it's a process, and it's an individual process for everyone to go through. But I think when you kind of become just comfortable in your own skin with everything about yourself, with, you know, HIV, whatever else is going on in your life, then what other people say and how they act towards you doesn't really bother you. So, I mean, it's a process of becoming secure with yourself, and then, like you said, Brian, you can send out a positive message, and I think it affects a lot of people. So it's great what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brian, one of the things I wanted to really talk a little bit about is actually what it was like in high school for you, because a lot of people don't experience, you know, most people don't experience going through high school HIV positive. And I know that you were called, you know, certain names just because you were HIV positive. Like, people called you gay. And you know, that's something that you just don't throw at people. I mean, people called me gay in high school. You know what I mean? How did you deal with that? Like, was it something, like, that happened all the time?
It was more, that was a little more middle school, and yeah, that did put me in a deep depression mode in middle school, but then, you know, sooner or later, I found the truth, and, you know, I found God, I found hope, and then stuff started kicking in, you know, and I just ignored what everybody said, you know, and really just... Once I got to high school, you know, they kicked me off the wrestling team because I'm positive, and people still just know, and they still do sometimes whisper stuff about you, and all you can do is just say, as I said to myself, is, you know, not really their fault. I haven't went to my own hometown and made sure they have the right education, you know? And so I believe it was sophomore year, I go on local news in my hometown, and I announced that, yes, it is true, I am HIV positive. I do have AIDS. I was that boy who was injected with HIV. And I just want the world to know that I forgive my dad for what he did to me. And I also forgive everybody else but they before me did. You know, I lost the bitterness right there, and then this huge rock just comes off me. I go back to school the next day, and kids are, like, saying sorry, you know. And then also the health classes asked me to teach there. And so, like, everybody basically, by the time I graduated high school, everybody had a decent understanding of what HIV really is.
Wow,
so.
That's amazing that you did that, you know what I mean? And you educated people who was so mean to you instead of, you know, like, following. I think it was just a great thing for you to do because that's actually how I found you. Somebody sent me a link to an MSNBC interview that was done with you or an article that was written on you, and I just thought it was very courageous to do it at such a young age. You know what I mean? Like, what made you want to, I mean, because of the way that things happened and the way that you were infected and how maybe, you know, that could have gave you, you know, some sort of negativity in mind thought, but where did, I just totally lost my thought. Can you believe that? What made you want to go public again and go back and bring all that stuff back into the public again?
It was more of a, I guess we need to bring it back, and because HIV is hiding. I don't see one billboard out there in my hometown saying, hey, have you got tested for HIV? I haven't seen one billboard out there that says, oh, HIV, spread the word, not the virus. You know, I'm not seeing any billboards talking about this. I'm rarely seeing it on the news. It's not in the public. I mean, I feel like a bunch of schools are, like, close to it. And they're not making a big deal of it. I mean, HIV is a big deal. It's infecting millions of people worldwide. And we're just keeping our mouths shut about it. Some of us are.
Kudos.
And, you know, we got to go public. We got to stand up. We got to just do what we got to do to get the word out there and say HIV is still here. And people are still infected with it.
Does a part of you feel like, because I know it does for me, that since you don't see those billboards up in, you know, anywhere, or you don't see, you know, commercials or anything like that, or it's in the public, does it make you feel like maybe as if you feel like you're invincible? Because that's what it made me feel like. Like it didn't
make you
feel
like invincible?
Yeah, like it made me feel like I didn't exist and the virus that I have doesn't exist. It doesn't matter to anybody because I don't see it out there being educated or broadcasted to educate people.
I guess I could kind of thought that way. I don't know. I don't know. Really. That was a good question. That really hit me. I don't know what to say
that.
That
made me feel.
No, I think anytime when, I mean, you know, you guys are both really young, but like in the early 80s and in the late 80s and early 90s, there was a lot more people that were visibly sick and dying, and there was a lot more billboards, advertising, you know, magazine articles and stuff that said, you know, HIV was really on the tip of everyone's tongue, HIV and AIDS. And now you're correct, Ryan. It's really because there's treatments that are effective, people don't talk about it as much as they should. And you know, yeah, people still are being infected actually at higher rates than more than ever now because they think it's okay to be, you know, engage in risky behavior because there is treatment available. So it's just really important to keep delivering the message, as you say, and spread the message, not the virus, and remind everyone over and over and over. That's why we do the show, and that's why we talk to people like you, is it needs to, you can never say it too much because there's always people that don't know what you're talking about. So,
yeah.
And, go ahead.
This just hit my mind. You know, you see all these people that have pink stickers on the back of the car or this other type of cancer, or support your troops on the car. How many people have a red ribbon magnet on the back of their car?
Right.
Hardly anyone. I never see
that. Yeah, I mean, that's how much it's hiding from public. Because, I mean, those magnets are kind of more personal than public, you know, and
right.
You don't really see those.
Well, and I think that also has to do with fighting the stigma of HIV. It's like, it's cool to say support the troops. It's cool to, you know, stand up for breast cancer and all that. And it's like,
Why don't we make it cool to stand up for HIV somehow, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a negative, there's a stigma about advertising support or involvement in HIV issues, which we need to get rid of. So, you know, that's just the way it is, which we have to fight.
So, Brian, tell us a little bit about the organization that you're starting, Hope is Vital.
Hope is Vital is a nonprofit. And what we do is we're kind of similar to Project Kindle's Speak Out program. And what I want to do is I want to kind of mix things up. I want to, like, get people thinking, oh, this is awesome, you know, by, like, putting on concerts, putting on dances, you know what I'm saying? And just along with that, sometimes I like to spread the word of God, and it's, I don't know about a lot of people, but what pulled me through a lot of things and what brought me hope was trusting Jesus, and, you know, that's a really big thing for me, and I stand by it really strong. But, so Hope is Vital, we go to different schools and churches and colleges, that's what we're trying to do, and give a presentation on what HIV is, how you can get it, how you can't get it, and then we talk about the stigma so other people can help us try and do something about it. And what the PowerPoint's pointing out is HIV is just not it's not a gay disease, not a prostitute disease, and all that. It's just HIV, and it can affect anybody, anywhere, and everybody's just like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And I think what's more bigger for that, oh, never mind. I lost my thoughts.
People can find information on Hope is Vital at hopeisvital.org, which has his contact information. Now he's in the middle of redesigning his website.
Yes.
So I just put that in there. And if anyone out there listening would like to call in and make a comment or ask Brian a question, you can call in at 347-215-9442, or you can ask a question in the chat room if you don't want to call in. Now, Brian, is being an activist, is that something that, like, you always wanted to do, or is it something that just kind of all the stigma around it kind of...
It was something more God-given than something I've always wanted to do. You know, I've always thought about just trying to live a normal life and just going to school. And I wanted to be a movie. Like, in middle school, I had this weird idea that probably almost every middle school kid is, oh, here's a good way to make money. Let's be a movie star, you know. But, you know, I just started speaking, and then I got into it, and then I felt like it's more God-given than what I wanted to do. Because I could, like, when I was in elementary and beginning of middle school, I could never picture myself where I am at today, being this great speaker and inspiring millions of Americans, and maybe people worldwide I'm inspiring, I don't know, but so, yeah.
So you just graduated from high school this spring, correct?
Come again?
You just graduated from high school, right?
Yes, I did.
So do you, what's the future hold for you? Like, do you, obviously you'll keep speaking and doing your work with Hope is Vital, and do you have other interests? Like, do you want to continue your education? What do you plan to do?
This is pretty much what I want to do. But someday I want to transfer over to politics. Ever since I started lobbying in D.C., I fell in love with politics. I was very big in last year's election, and it was just pretty awesome to be involved in stuff like that. And they're basically the people who you elect to help run America, and I believe that we need better politicians than some of the ones we already have. So
that's kind of interesting, because last week, Brian, me and Jack had the mayor of West Hollywood on John Duran, who is an openly HIV-positive politician, and he's like one of four in the United States. So that may be somebody you may want to check in and look up and you know, see what it's all about, because he's a very inspirational guy, and you know, he's involved in the politics, so that might be something you want to check out.
All right. I'll look into that. That sounds interesting.
I have a caller here on the line, so I'm going to bring them on. Caller 636, area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Jennifer Jackson, Brian's mother, actually.
Oh, hey. Hello, Brian's mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Brian. Actually, I was just wanting to call because I just wanted to say that Brian does a wonderful job at trying to educate people and get the message out. And Brian's big message, too, is that one partner, one possibility, because a lot of people don't understand that, it's not a gay disease, it's not a prostitute disease, it's not a drug user disease, it's a health diagnosis. And I have to give Brian kudos at the fact that, you know, he stands strong in the fact of, you know, even if people do want to label HIV-positive people with those titles or those tags, that he stands strong that, you know, if you've had one partner, that's one possibility, and you need to get tested and always practice safe sex. And, you know, there's even people out there that, oh, well, I'm infected, you're infected, let's, you know, obviously we can't get reinfected, but, you know, that's what causes the super viruses. And I think Brian stands strong and stands firm that, you know, he wants to educate the masses, and when he wants to go into politics, it's because he wants to make changes with the labels that people put on others, and that he wants to make a difference within the nation, within the world, and basically do the right thing.
Excellent. Well, I'll vote for him.
You know, that's funny that you called in, because I was just going to make a comment about you and how I wanted to give you kudos for being so supportive for Brian, because usually, you know, not every parent would like their son. Like, I know my mom at first didn't want me to go public about my status. So, mm-hmm. You know, for you to stand by him and support him is an amazing thing.
It's been a rough road, you know, between the labels that people want to put on you, as well as I walked, when Brian was severely sick with full-blown AIDS, I walked away from college, from pre-med scholarships, from a lot of different things, and devoted myself to his health and his well-being, and it caused a lot of problems with our family life on the whole. But it's one of those that I would hope any parent would do, is be supportive with their child's diagnosis, as well as be supportive and loving them and helping them find their path, and especially when he's chosen a path that is one that he wants to impact people in a positive manner and change the outlook of how people look at this diagnosis and say, you know, it's not what you think, and that it's about loving everyone and putting your foot forward as to being good people, not pointing fingers.
Absolutely.
So, and I think at such a young age, I do have to say, too, that at such a young age, he's really trying to make an impact, and I don't know too many 18-year-olds that could be doing what he's doing and stand strong in it.
Yeah, it's very impressive.
So, anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and I appreciate you guys having him on as well.
Our pleasure.
All right, you guys have a blessed day.
Mom.
Thank you. Love
Thank
you.
You.
Bye.
That's so cute. Bri, your mom's cute. Calling in. And if anyone else would like to call in, you can give us a call at 347-215-9442. You can call in and ask a question or make a comment about Brian.
No, I think, Brian, it's really impressive that you are doing what you do at such a young age, like your mom said. It's like, you know, I mean, you were faced with this kind of looked like a fairly bleak situation. And as your mom said, there, you know, wasn't always easy, and it's not always easy. But I think, you know, the impact that you desire to have on the world and our nation, I mean, it's happening already. And I think, you know, like you said, the work that you do is bigger than you. It's going to make a difference to a countless number of people. And especially because you are so young, I think, you know, young people that wouldn't necessarily listen to someone my age who will be like, oh, that doesn't matter to me, that doesn't affect me, will see themselves in you. And, you know, you'll be able to affect a lot of young people, which is so great that you're working in this camp as well, because, I mean, that's, you know, it'll make a huge difference in people's lives.
Yeah. I just want to give a little heads up about my mom. You know, I believe if it wasn't for her, then I really wouldn't be where I was today. I mean, she is a very strong, independent woman, and she does so much for the family. She would do anything for her kids, and she's just an awesome person, thank God, and does, like, has a good heart of service. She's currently the chair of Greater St. Louis Honor Flight, and she dedicates some of her time to it. And what they do is they transport World War II veterans out to Washington, D.C. to see their memorials before they die. And before that, she was on the board at Youth in Need. And, you know, just seeing my mom, how good-hearted she is. She just is really amazing and so strong and strong in faith. And, I mean, I feel if my mom was not the person she is, then I probably wouldn't even have the mind to go down this path. And so she played a big role in my life, and I'd like to thank her for that. So, you know.
Right on.
You're cute. That is so cute. I think it's just so cute. So what did it feel like to put on that cap and gown and graduate when
It was, like, really exciting, you know. I mean, I'm just standing there, like, before the ceremony, and I'm just thinking over things. I'm like, wow, I'm not even supposed to be here today. And I asked one of my friends, you know, who do you think would be sitting next to you if I died when I was 5? And he said, I don't know, man. And
that's crazy.
And little things, you know, the day before that, CBS was filming me, and my local news was filming me, and the lady, she's like, she already messaged up by saying, Hope is Alive, HIV is Brian Jackson's new organization. And she also, I didn't know they were filming me at the time, but they said, I was like, I felt like wearing a cowboy hat today. So the next day was Saturday when, and so I got up, and I was just, like, really excited, you know, really nervous. And it was the biggest, just this really big day for me. So I tweeted about it. I'm like, yesterday I felt like wearing a cowboy hat. Today is the day I get to wear my cap and gown. When, you know. So.
I just think that's amazing. you know, and do you, now, here's a, how is, you know, you're 18 years old, you just graduated high school,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously, you know, how is dating for you? How, like, do you have a girlfriend?
I'm currently single at the time, so, ladies listening, I was in a relationship, it didn't work out so well, and I mean, her, and it was really great, because in the beginning, her parents actually took the time to get to know me, and they had, like, 10-page list of questions about the HIV virus. And I sat down and I answered every single question they had. And I wish more parents would be like that, you know, instead of this one relationship I was in about a couple of years, you know. There's this girl's parents, I mean, they were cool with us being friends, but then once it came to, oh, I'd like to be more than that with your daughter, they just go off the hook and say, oh, you can't call my daughter anymore, you can't see my daughter anymore, and if you do, we'll get a restraining order against you, or we'll move her to a different state.
Wow.
And other situations, it's just like, you can't see my daughter anymore, and then we like kind of have to keep it a secret, you know? But I would really like it if, you know, parents just, like, sat down with me and answered my questions rather than going to fear directly. I mean, if you want me to be your daughter's friend, you know, you're going to see me around a lot, so you might have just well off the questions then and there, right? I mean, so.
Speaking of that, do you get a lot of emails and, you know, are you on Facebook and stuff? Do people reach out to you a lot and ask you questions?
Coming in.
I'm just curious, like, if you said you would like it if parents would ask you questions, but do people in general and kids, and do you get a lot of emails from people asking questions about HIV?
No, I did have a question. Somebody sent me a question on MySpace and was talking about if I could ever have kids, you know? And I said, yeah, I can. And she's like, how? I'm like, well, I can have sex and, you know, I'm undetectable. But there's still a risk in that,
right?
When you're undetectable. And, you know, there's also sperm washing. You can go to the doctors, get the HIV spin out of the sperm and,
right.
You know, do it that way.
Right.
Or there's always adoption.
Right.
There's a lot of orphans out there. Somebody's got to love them.
Right.
And then you do have a fan page on Facebook for Hope is Vital, right?
I just set that up not
yep.
too long ago, so there's no picture on it. There's like the, I think a question mark or something right there.
That's fine, but it says Hope is Vital, so people can find you and become a fan of it on there.
Yes, sir.
Cool, cool, cool. Now, since you just graduated high school, obviously one of the things that people would ask are do you plan on going to college?
I do plan on going to college. I don't know what's going about right now, but I'm just sleeping on it and praying on it and hoping it would just come to mind. Right now I have, since I'm just wanting to tour with and do stuff for my organization, maybe online college would be the best. But if I'm not doing that, then community college would be the best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, the reason why that might be is because with all the absences I have in high school, I've really lowered my GPA, and so... if you see my GPA, I think it's only about 2.5 something, and that's for 4 years of full credit of all my credits, and that was one of the rough things was, is he healthy enough to go to school, or does he have to stay home because he's feeling sick? Is he going to miss first hour or second hour because his pills won't stay down? So it was a wild ride, and, you know, I had a lot of absences. And just like the month before school ended, I got diagnosed with an ulcer and 3 erosions. And, I mean, that was the worst thing possible. It felt like somebody put a bunch of razor blades in your stomach and jingled them around with some razor blade hands.
Ow.
And it hurt. I mean, they had me on Vicodin and stuff, and I went to 3 different ER rooms, and then it's just horrible.
So we didn't really touch on that, but how, I mean, so you just mentioned it briefly, but how was your health and how is it now? Like you know, you said you had a lot of absences. Were you really sick through high school, or was it pretty stable, or?
Right now, I believe it's stable. But I feel like it's more like when I'm really active, when I was in cheerleading, I never missed a day of school. Like,
right.
Seriously, I was like on at school because I was active, I was a cheerleader, I was working out, I was doing this. But then after cheerleading track season ended, I kind of just went to school and then went home, and now I'm just at home, you know. So I feel like being physically active is what we need to, it's that the positive people need to be, or they're just, you know, weak and their bodies can become weak, and then I guess you're not going to have a really healthy body to fight it.
So you ran track in high school?
Yeah, I did track and field for 2 years.
First year
I did, junior year I did track, I ran. And then senior year it was more of a discus and shot. So.
Oh, cool. Now, how was the reaction of, like, your track teammates?
Come again?
How was the reaction of your track teammates about your status?
They really didn't say anything to me. So.
So it was kind of just
like, good throw. Yeah.
That's so funny. I actually have a call on the line, so I'm going to bring them on for you.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Deb down in Florida. How are y'all doing today?
Hey, Deb.
We're doing good.
Brian,
I don't know about you. My side.
Brian, I just wanted to commend you for speaking out about HIV. We need many more people your age doing it. I know as an older activist, I get kind of discouraged when I go to national meetings and 95% of the crowd is my age, which is nearing 50 and older, and we don't have that many young people showing up that are going to be the next generation of activists. So I really want to commend you for being out there and spreading the message at such a young age and doing such an excellent job of doing it. You're an inspiration for other people your age.
Thank you.
And I wish you continued success in your endeavors and your health.
Thank you, sir.
Dad, wait, real quick, you're a long-term survivor. I just wanted to let Brian know a little bit about you. How you've been HIV positive for how long?
28 years. I tested positive on February the 14th, 1982.
There's some hope. See that? 28 years.
And you can actually be an activist and still maintain a somewhat normal life. But continued success with your organization and speaking around the country and getting younger people to pay attention to this disease. And hopefully, supposedly Canada has found a vaccine, which will be going into clinical trials here in the States in the next few months. So we have even more hope on the horizon, hopefully, that'll lead us closer to a cure.
Sounds good. Dad, thanks
Excellent.
For calling in, man.
Y'all have a
All
great
thanks.
Week. I look forward to seeing you in D.C., Robert.
Yep, I'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
That's cool. Dad's a really, really great guy. You should check out his website, Brian. It's dabtheaidsbearproject.org.
I'll check that out.
Really, really cool guy. He's actually a blogger on PozIM. If you get a chance, you should check out, you know, the social network that we have at PozIM.com and check it out. It might be something you might be interested in meeting other people. You know, there's a whole bunch of us there. So, has the week began with the kids? Are they there yet, or is this the week before?
The kids are here. They got here 2 days ago. They got here Sunday. They got here Monday. And there's still a couple kids coming in, you know. And they got
how
here
many,
Monday.
How many kids are there altogether?
I think there's 100 this year.
Oh, wow.
And that's how much Camp Kendall has grown. And
yeah.
I think it's
great
that they're
right?
grown because the more they grow, the more people they're reaching out to, right? I mean, so.
No, that's amazing.
And they're kids from all over, right, Brian? They're not just from, like, California. They're from everywhere.
The kids in California or for the California camp or more of California, Oregon, and, like, you know, those West Coast states.
Right.
And then the camp in Nebraska is more from people East Coast and Midwest.
I see. And what are some things that you do there that you'll be doing this year at the camp that's different from when you were there before? Since you're doing more of work there instead of, you know, going there as one of the campers.
What am I doing this year that I haven't?
Yeah, like what will you be doing this year that'll be, you know, different than what you've done before? And I think.
I don't really know. That's another great question. I guess I'm gonna try and be more inspiring and there for the kids, and make sure they know I'm there for them and, like, know who I am. I mean, where I came from and what I'm doing, and hopefully they'll be inspired to be a part of that. And I think it's pretty awesome that I get to be in charge of my own Speak Out program with another counselor.
Yeah, that is really cool.
So.
Now, do you have any events coming up or any of are you speaking anywhere, maybe in your area or anywhere?
Things that we've booked are for during the school year.
Okay.
There is this one organization, Comtree, who wanted me to, who already did one for them on last Friday, and they want me to do a couple more for the other branches they have. And it's for kids who, to help kids who abuse substances. And I think it's kind of great to go to those places because I'm offering hope and I'm trying to inspire them. And, you know, just, and I feel like, you know, it's just not me helping people because they have HIV. I would love to help anybody, you know. That's more of my God-given purpose than being an activist. It's more to help people in this world. I mean, if you ask my mom, every time my mom's like, Brian, what are you doing on Facebook? I'm like, Mom, I'm helping a friend with a situation. At like 2 o'clock in the morning, if a friend needs to talk, I'll be like leaving my house in my car, and I'll be over at their house and helping them. And, you know, that's what I'm really dedicated to, helping others and trying to have a good how to say this.
Sounds like such a nice young man. your mother definitely raised you great.
It's hard to believe that you're only 18, actually. It's like you've really done a lot with your life, so that's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian, we are winding down to the last couple minutes. One of the questions we always I try to ask everybody is, what has you becoming HIV taught you?
All right, what was that question you had?
What have you learned from your HIV status?
I dropped the phone again.
What have you learned from your HIV status?
That hope is vital, and that there is a God, and I also learned that there are two kinds of people in this world. People who can live in the shadows and hide behind the walls, or people who can stand, or there's the people who can stand up on the wall and stay away from the shadows and make a difference, rather than sitting around and moping about it.
Well, that's definitely what you're doing. You're definitely making a difference.
All
right. Well, Brian, I want to thank you for taking some time out of your day today while you're at Camp Kindle and sharing your amazing story with us. Do you have any other thing you wanted to mention maybe that we didn't get to get out?
I kind of think I got it all out.
Sounds good to me.
Actually, yeah. Never mind. Yeah, I got it all out. So.
Well, you folks can learn more about Brian Jackson at hopeisvital.org, and you can also join his fan page on Facebook. Just search Hope is Vital. Brian, thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and your week at the camp.
Yeah, have fun at camp.
All right, thanks. It's been a blessing to be out here. All right, God
bye.
Bye.
He is such an inspiration, Jack.
I know. You know what? And I would, some college should give him a scholarship. I mean, forget all the, absences. And, he has a reason for all that stuff. It's like, he's got a lot of merit beyond a grade point average, I think. Anyways, that's just my personal opinion, but I don't know many 18-year-olds that could fill his shoes, so I think that's very impressive.
Yes, I was just blown away at his courage to do it at such a young age, because I couldn't imagine doing it. It took me 5 years to do it.
Yeah, and I feel, especially when his mom came on and explained that her life obviously took a turn that she did not expect, which
right.
I think that happens to all of us when there's the HIV diagnosis that either happens to us or is close to us. But, and at the time it's really shocking and you feel disappointed and you feel like you have to, you can't pursue your dreams or whatever. And how she was saying she was in medical school and she had to change sort of the course of her life. But I think in the long run, we all reflect back on it and like look at the great work that Brian is doing that he wouldn't have done otherwise. And, I think it's always a blessing in disguise. I think it takes a little bit of time to realize that.
Yeah, he should definitely look into writing a book.
Yeah.
I think that would
be really good. I know he was talking about community college and who knows where his life is going to take him, but I wouldn't be surprised if, he wrote a great essay. He could get into any college he wants to.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, who knows?
Who knows? Good luck to him.
Right. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And remember, you can learn more about PosIAM Radio and our hosts at PosIAM.com. And you can learn more about Jack at JackMcEnroth.com. Other than that, Sunday we have Shirley Jagalowski from Pos Peddlers on. at 9 p.m., and then next Wednesday we have Larry Lefevre, and he's going to share his personal story with us. Jack, have a great day, man.
Right on, you too.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Robert. Bye.
Bye.